don't know if it'll be a message or what it'll be, but I just want to share it with you. There was a song that I've heard lately. My sister and brother-in-law, Melissa and Robert, they've been singing quite a few places. They was up here last week, and before that, they was at Dad's, and then there's a couple other places before that, and they've been getting, or they're singing quite a bit. And they were singing a few songs that I went and looked up, and you know, that really touched my heart. And then in looking those up, I found some other songs, and I just kept bouncing from song to song. And one of these songs I'd heard before, but I hadn't really listened to it. Sometimes the Lord will open something up to you when it's the right time. And you can hear a song, or you can hear a verse of Scripture, and you don't really think much of it. And then the Lord will just slap you in the face with it. You didn't really notice it before, but maybe it wasn't the time for you to notice it. But there's a song by an artist, a contemporary artist named David Crowder, called How He Loves Us. And the very first part of that song says, "He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of His will and mercy." It goes on to say, "All of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And then I realize how beautiful you are and how great your affection is for me." And I don't know, something about that just struck me this week. I begin to think about the Lord's love for us, and more specifically, the Lord's jealousy. And so, if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to, I think it's in, I've got it here labeled as Deuteronomy. I'm going to talk about the Lord's jealousy this morning and the Lord's love. And that, I don't know, that this week I was listening to that song over and over. I even played it for Melissa and played guitar along with it and just let the Lord just have His way and just got lost in the song. And He is jealous for me. That just stuck with me this week. That just really got down and settled deep in my heart and my spirit. What does it mean for the Lord to be jealous for us? And how does that reflect His love? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's start at verse 23. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel as they was about to cross over Jordan into the promised land and go conquer the promised land. And we know Moses wasn't able to go himself. And earlier he blames it on the children of Israel here. He said, "Because of you, I can't get into this land." Not so many words, but basically he tells them that. "For your sakes, the Lord was angry with me." And so he has to stay behind, and he watches them go on. And we know the story of how he goes up top of the mountain, and the Lord becomes his pallbearer. He dies on the mountain. But before he does, he gives them a few words here. He says in verse 23 of Deuteronomy 4, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke Him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be surely, utterly destroyed." And we see here about the Lord's jealousy. And I began to research this week about the Lord's jealousy. And even before this, in verse 14, it talks about how that the children of Israel are not supposed to go into the land and worship the gods that these other people worship. The gods of Egypt, the gods of all the other people in the promised land, especially the Jebusites, the Hittites, and all these other nations that he mentions, they were pagans. So God sent them to conquer that land for His purpose. And so when they got into the land, He says, Don't follow those gods, because I'm a jealous God. And that song come back to my heart as I read this. He is jealous for me. And most of the time in the Bible, when you read about jealousy, God is always referring to making graven images and making other gods to bow down and worship to. We hear of all these things happening amongst the heathen. We hear about Baal, the god that the prophets of Baal would cut themselves and try to get their god's attention. We hear about the god Dagon. I think it might have been the book of Daniel where Dagon, his hands and his limbs were severed and they fell on the ground. I believe that was the god of the Philistines. We hear about all these other gods and these false gods and in the Bible. And even today, they're becoming even more prominent in the world today. Seems like about a year or two ago, they made an archway, I think it was, to Baal, and they replicated that. I believe it was somewhere around in New York City. They had a pagan altar, a pagan archway to the god Baal. And even today, people are trying to find their hope and their satisfaction in things that do not satisfy. They try to worship the almighty dollar, as it's called. They try to worship an alternate lifestyle. They try to worship cheating on their spouse. All these other things that go on in the life today. And it's all because they don't have a real relationship with the almighty God who created them, who knows them inside out, who knows the very core of their being, who knows how to fill that empty space in their heart and in their life. Amen. They don't have a relationship with Him. He told Jeremiah, before you was even in the womb, before I even put you there, I knew thee, and I called thee out to be a prophet for me. God has a will, He has a purpose and a plan for everybody sitting in this room today. He knew way eons before we was even born that we'd be here today, that there'd be members out that was sick, that the pastor wouldn't be able to make it because he was sick. Hey, but amen, we're here today and God's here with us this morning. I'm glad for that. He's a jealous God. He's jealous, and He talks about Him being a consuming fire. His wrath, many times in the Bible, is compared to fire, how it burns and how it completely obliterates the things that are making Him jealous. We turn backwards just a little bit and we go to the book of Exodus. And the Bible says in Exodus 34, He says, verse 10, "Behold, I make a covenant." Now remember, He said, don't break the covenant that you had with the Lord. Earlier He talks about the covenant being the Ten Commandments, but that's what God commanded them. That's not the covenant He had with them. Let's read about one of the covenants He had with them. "Behold," verse 10 of Exodus 34, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. All people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." He's promising the nation of Israel that they'll be like, unlike any other nation on this world, on this whole earth. He did wonders with them that no other nation has been heard of doing wonders. He parted the Red Sea for them. He went and conquered cities for them. He destroyed entire kingdoms for them. Things that He did for them that no other nation has had the privilege of enjoying. Even the other nations cowered and ran in fear for the God of Israel. And that's the covenant He had with them. And Moses told them before they went to Jordan, before they went over, He said, be careful that you don't break that. In verse 11 here, He says, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee," and He's naming the people that are in the promised land, the people that are in Israel, that are in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, and all those other people belonged to other nations before Israel took it over. And these are the nations they belong to. He said, "Behold, those that I drive up before thee, the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest there be a snare in the midst of thee. Ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and to make thy sons go whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. One of the first commandments of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and make no other gods. God is a jealous God. He wants to know, where does your heart lie? Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie with God, or does it lie with the other things of this world? Book of Isaiah, I think in chapter 45, it talks about how men will take wood and they'll build these gods that have some kind of representation to mean something. But with the same block of wood, they'll put it in the fire to warm themselves. My friends, a God that can be burned up is not a God, amen, that can protect us and that we should worship. Gods that were made with hands are not gods that we should worship. God is a jealous God. He's jealous for us. He loves us and He wants us to be completely reserved and preserved for Him. We talked this morning about leavened and unleavened bread. God wants to make sure that His love is reflected back to Him perfectly. He doesn't want us to be dabbled in the world. Even right here as we just read, as they went over to the other nations, they were not supposed to partake of their gods. They were not supposed to partake of their food that was offered to the idols. They weren't even supposed to intermarry with other nations because God wanted to preserve a pure nation of Israel to Himself. Because they knew that once they married into another land, another tribe, or another citizenship, that those nations would compel them and lure them away from God into their own paganistic worship. God is jealous for us. He loves us. He told Hosea in the book of Hosea, the whole book is about one man having to take an adulterous bride, an adulterous wife, who continues to go out into the world and cheat on her husband, and she's always found out in the world. She's not found in the by the side of her husband. Hosea chapter 3, a very short chapter, it says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel." You see, no matter how many times Israel went back on the Lord loved them so much, He wanted them to return. He favored them with gifts. He favored them with good things, with blessings. He tried to woo them back. But time and time again, they would go away and go astray from the Lord. And He says, "Hosea, I want you to go take a wife that's just like my children Israel so that you can feel like what it feels like for me." Love a woman, an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. You know what? I wonder if when the Lord was talking to that adulterous woman that they found, and they were about to stone to death, I wonder if He didn't think to Himself, this is just like the children of Israel. And I love them, and my Father loves them. He wants them to come back. He wants to woo them. I wonder if that love that He had, that jealousy He had towards the love of His church and towards the love of His people was what saved the adulterous woman that day. He said, "Where are those that condemn thee?" She said, "I see them not." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go, sin no more." Time and time again, God told His people, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. I'll be with you if you come out from the unclean thing." Because God doesn't want to have anything to do with somebody who wants to continue to be a part of the world. Amen. If you think about it in those terms, Hosea had a wife who was supposed to be his and his alone. And that wife would keep going out to other people and other men. She would keep defiling herself with them. And time again, God told him to love her as He loved His church, as He loved Israel, and take her back in. I don't know personally if I could do that. You think about that. We talk about it all the time. I don't know if I could offer my son to be a sacrifice. I don't know that I could share my wife with others and accept her back in as if nothing ever happened. But that's what God does. He loves His people. And He would rather be in relationship with them and forgive them of their transgression. You know, back in the Old Testament, back in Joshua, it talks about the jealousy as well. But Joshua even went so far as to say that the Lord is jealous over you. He will not forgive you your transgressions. But today we live in what we call the age of grace, where Christ came for whosoever will, for the just and the unjust. He said, there's none good, no, not one. That means you, that means me. Nobody was good enough to deserve the love of God, the jealousy that He has toward us, that we remain holy and we remain purified and unadulterated in His life and His eyes in relationship with Him. None of us could have ever earned or deserved that. That's the love of God. He chose to give His only begotten Son to make the relationship whole again. Hosea says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. See, she was sold on the market to whoever would buy her. This was an adulteress on the auction block, so to speak. Hosea lifts his hands, and when the bidding began, he said he bought her for 15 pieces of silver. I don't know how much money that was, but I believe that blew them all out of the water. He made sure that he was going to get his wife back, and nobody else could trump his offer. It's like saying today, if the bidding goes as high as $1,000, somebody raised their hand and say $100,000. How much was we worth to God? How much was we worth to Him? He sent everything He had. He sent the best. I'm coming after me and you. He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the priceless Son of God. Amen. Because He wanted to redeem mankind to Himself. When the bidding for our souls began, and the devil, the auctioneer, stood up to the auction block and asked, how much would you give me for their lives? God said, I'll give you my only begotten Son, the only thing that means anything to me. Part of the Godhead Himself, He was willing to part with part of Himself. Because He loved you and me that much. Hosea said, I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. And for a homer barley and for half a homer barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince. And without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Hosea said unto her, you're going to be my wife, and you're not going to be somebody else's. And I will be the same as you. I will be solely reserved for you. This is what God tries to tell the church today. Tried to tell the Israelites back in those days. And He had every right to demand our holiness and our purification and our loyalty to Him. Why? Because He paid so much for us. So don't think that when you hear the commandments of the Word of God, the world looks at that and they say, oh, all these rules. I've got to obey this. I've got to do that. I've got to not do this. I've got to not do that. God is sovereign. He paid the ultimate price. And He knows exactly what will bring us down. And what will cause us to stray from Him. But thank God He says in John, 1 John, He says if we sin, amen, and confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Whenever we find ourselves out in the world again, and we say, Lord, out of a repentant, contrite heart, Lord, I have been unfaithful to you. And I ask your forgiveness. I plead your cause. I plead your mercy. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because He is the ultimate husband toward His bride. He is looking for a bride without spot and without blemish. And the only way that happened is by Jesus coming and shedding His blood on Calvary. That's how much He cares for us. That's why God is a jealous God. Because He paid the ultimate price. And every time we find ourselves back in the world, we need to remember that the price that God paid, we're just throwing it out the door. Saying, Lord, Your gifts don't matter to me. Your mercy don't matter to me. The sacrifice You made don't matter to me. That's the attitude of a harlot. The attitude of an adulterous woman who says, husband, Your vows mean nothing to me. Your gifts mean nothing to me. But God is holding His hand out. It's outstretched toward us each time we fall short. And God knows that we're human. He knows that we're made of this old flesh, and it's bound to be, it's cursed flesh, and it's bound to fall. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that don't mean we have to stay in sin, amen, this morning. We come with a repentant heart. And we say, Lord, I'm going to renew my vows toward You. He talked about a covenant. Marriage is a covenant between two people. Man and woman. Let's get that straight out of the way. Marriage is a covenant relationship. And that's what God expects of us. We say, Lord, I want to renew my vows. You know, you've heard of couples renewing their vows every so many years. It's not that they've been unfaithful. It's just they want to have some of that newness again. They want to renew something and make it more special and take it more seriously in their lives. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Every day we ought to be renewing our vows to the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but I fail daily. Every day there's something that gets between me and the Lord. And I have to say, Lord, forgive me. And on His authority of His Word, He's faithful and just to do just that. The devil would like you to believe that the Lord would not be that faithful. But He gave His only begotten Son to prove that He is that faithful. I'll share with you what the Lord shared with me this morning. And I'd ask that Melissa come to the piano and play softly. You know, this is a good time as any, beginning a new year, to renew our vows to the Lord. To renew our covenant with the Lord and say, Lord, this past year, I know I've broken it, but I want to renew back up. I want to be to You as a faithful spouse, just as You were to me on Calvary 2,000 years ago and have been ever since. I don't know about anyone else, but I know I need to move up. And so if you have a need, if you would like to move up, come down here on this altar, and we'll pray with you. And I'll be the first to do it.